Okay, good morning, everyone. Our weekly Shir Maseches Tainis is dedicated by Gary and Toby Greenstein in memory of their dear son Yomi Yosef Menachem Zichrono Livracha Ben Gershom, who grew up here in the YIPC. And the Shir is Le'ilui Nishmaso. The weekly breakfast is sponsored by Bagel Munch. Le'ilui Nishmas Shimon Ben Zev and Fega Bas Chaim. Baruch Hashem, we are here together at the beginning of the fourth parak of Tainis. This is the final parak of our Masechta. We're on Daf Chavav Amud Aleph. Everyone with me?
Yep.
Here we go. So the Mishnah says as follows. So we actually have a fairly long Mishnah. Most of our Daf today is a Mishnah. Bishlosha Prakim Bishana Kohanim Nosin Eskapeyim. At three different times during the year, three different Zmanim during the year, Kohanim would engage in Nesias Kapayim. Nesias Kapayim literally means to raise up your hands, and it of course refers to the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim. Ko Sivarchu, says the Torah, it's a mitzvah min haTorah for the Kohanim to bless the Jewish people, to do so by lifting their hands, and to do so, it was originally in the Mikdash itself. They would do so at embedded within or right after the mitzvah of the Ketores, and they would recite the bracha Yivrecha Hashem v'Yishmerecha Ya'er Hashem v'Lecha v'Chuneka Yisa Hashem Panav v'Lecha v'Yisem v'Cha Shalom. We relate to this today as Birchas Kohanim. We no longer have a Beis Hamikdash, Letzareinu. So where do we do this? We do this at the end of the Tfilos that replace our Karbonos, the end of Bakasha Sefer Shema Koleinu, at the end of Ritzei, and we insert Birchas Kohanim. We insert Birchas Kohanim. So there are three times a year that we do Birchas Kohanim, Nosin is Kapeyan, Arba Pamim Beyom, and four times within the day. Bishachris, Bimusaf, Bimincha, Uvne'ilas Sha'arim. We do it in Shachris, we do it in Musaf, we do it in Mincha, and we do it at Ne'ilas Sha'arim, the locking of the gates, which refers to Ne'ilah. Today we really only say Ne'ilah in the Tainis of Yom HaKippurim, but many people, when they used to establish Tanesim for other reasons, as we have learned, or as we will learn, the Tefillah of Ne'ilah was often included. So the Gemara says, okay, so that's the four potential times a day, and the Gemara says, Betanios, what are these three prokim, what are these three seasons? So the Gemara says, Betanios, in Tanesim we say Nesias Kapayim, Uve Ma'amados, and on the Ma'amados, we'll get to what Ma'amados are, Uve Yom HaKippurim, and we do so on Yom HaKippurim. So first the Mishnah wants to know, what are these Ma'amados? So Tanios we're familiar with, Yom HaKippurim we're certainly familiar with. What are Ma'amados? What are Ma'amados? So says the Gemara, Elohein Ma'amados. These are the Ma'amados. Lefi she'nemar, since it says, Sav es b'nei Yisrael es karboni lachmi, that the mandate to bring the daily karbon hatamid, the karbon that was brought each and every day in the Beis HaMikdash, es hakeves echad taseh baboker, ves hakeves hasheni, taseh ben arbayim. We had to bring a karbon hatamid each and every day. We've mentioned many times the famous medrash at the beginning of the Ein Yaakov that quotes the what's the most important pasuk in the Torah. One says V'aftal Recha Kamocha, one says Shema Yisrael. These are grandiose psukim that we relate to as very significant in the context of religious life. And one of the opinions is the pasuk of Es Akeves Aichod Taseh Baboker Ves Akeves Hasheni Taseh Ben Arbayim. And all the Mefarshim ask, that's the most important pasuk in the Torah, the pasuk that says you got to bring a korban every single day? And the answer is yes, because while Judaism definitely celebrates big moments, the Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, these are big moments, Chanukah, Purim, Yom Ha'atzmaut, these are big moments. Nevertheless, Es Hakeves Echad Taseh Baboker, the real testament to our devotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is found in our consistency. In the consistency of Keves Echad Taseh Baboker, our ability to live day to day, in each and every day, the ability to infuse that day with meaning and purpose and avodas Hashem. And I think I saw in the name of Rav Kook once that why is it that we have to have two? If the goal is consistency, so just to have the keves achad taseh baboker, why do you have to also have the keves hasheni taseh ben arbaim? And it's this carbon that is replicated in the format of our current and contemporary tefillah experience. Shachris mincha, and then Mariv has to do with another avodah, the hekter chalav and veivorim that occurred. But this is the source, the Gemara in Brachos says, of our daily tefillos. Gemara has two opinions. Is it this or is it the avos, the Gemara in Brachos? But this is one of the main sources. So why do you have to have two? So if the goal is to connect with God every single day, so do it once a day. Why do you have to have it twice a day? So he writes, because the reality is that the way a day begins and the way a day ends are often very different. Day begins with lots of ambitions. We have our to-do list, things to get going. We're aspiring. We're fresh. We're ready to go. We're excited. We're sitting here Sunday morning. It's 9:11 on Sunday morning. We can't wait. We're going to take on the day. We're going to do wonderful things. And then reality hits, and the day goes as it goes. There are moments of great accomplishment. There are moments of disappointment. There are moments where we were successful. There are moments where we failed. There are moments where marriage was great today. There are moments where marriage was could be better tomorrow. That's the reality. So first you check in with God at the beginning of the day, when you're ambitious, when you're excited, when you're enthusiastic. But if you really want to be a person of consistency, then you also connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam at the end of that day, when you have dealt with the reality of life as it has occurred. And that's what we should be thinking about when we get to Mincha. Mincha already is Mincha, as we often daven Mincha towards the end of the day. That Mincha is already a time to be saying to ourselves, "Okay, the day didn't turn out the way it did. I hoped it would at Shacharis, but this too can become part of my Avodas Hashem. This too can become part of my service of God." So here's the problem. This is a Korban HaTzibur. This is a Korban that everybody is obligated in. As the Torah says, Tzav es b'nei Yisrael. Command the entire Jewish people. V'chihech, says the Mishnah, Korbono shel Adam Karav. V'hu eino omed al gabov. First of all, just very interesting. Mishnayos don't usually talk like this, right? It's like a rhetorical question in the Mishnah. Mm-hmm. It almost sounds like a Gemara, right? It's an interesting Tanaic, just formulation. But the Mishnah says, how is it that let's say I'm living in whatever community, I'm living in Shiloh, right? And the carbon's being offered in Yerushalayim. Carbon's being offered on my behalf. I'm not even there. I'm not even there to be a part of it. What do you mean it's on my behalf? I'm not there. So says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, Hiskinu Nevi'im Arishonim Esrim V'arba Mishmaros. So the Nevi'im Rishonim, most of the Mepharshim say this is already from the time of David and Shmuel, right? Talking about Shiloh, right? So already from the time of David and Shmuel. That's before the Beis HaMikdash, right? But already the time of David and Shmuel, so that's not a good example if I'm living in Shiloh, because that's weird, yeah. Right? So let's say I'm living in Bayit Vegan, right? And, and so now I'm nowhere near the Korban HaTamid. So the Gemara said, the Mishnah says, they divided up the weeks into 24 Mishmaros. Ako Mishmar, Mishmar HaYamamid B'Yerushalayim, on every Mishmar, there was a Maimid in Yerushalayim, Shal Kohanim, Shal Leviim, V'Shal Yisraelim. When the Beis HaMikdash was functioning, there was a group of Kohanim, of Leviim, and Yisraelim. So the Kohanim and the Leviim were involved in the Avodah itself, right? They were in Yerushalayim, doing the Avodah, doing the musical accompaniment to the Avodah. Higi azman ha-mishmar la'alos Kohanim ve-Leviim olam li-Yerushalayim. When it came time for the Mishmar, so the Kohanim and Leviim would go to Yerushalayim, be Yisrael, and what would the regular Yisraelim do? Sheba also Mishmar, there was also a representatives of that Mishmar. Miskansim la'arehen, they would gather in their cities, v'korin b'masa bereshis, and they would read the psukim of Maisa bereshis. So we were, in other words, we were basically the representatives of Klal Yisrael. We would gather in shul, and we would consciously connect ourselves to the experience of Maisa bereshis, right? So says the Mishnah, v'anshe amaymed ayu misanin, this is important, they would fast arba yomim b'shavua. We would fast those 4 days. Miyom beiz vad yom hachamishi. From Monday all the way through Thursday. V'lo yom asanim erev Shabbos. They covered a Shabbos. We didn't fast on Friday because of covered Shabbos. V'lo be'echad b'Shabbos. And this is interesting. We didn't fast on Sunday. Why? K'dei shelo yotzu mimenucha v'oneg li'egia v'tainis v'yamusu. So that a person shouldn't experience this transition from Tanug v'oneg straight into a tainus, and they'll feel faint, they'll feel difficult. When do we always experience that? Tzom Gedalia, right? Tzom Gedalia, even though it's one of the shorter fasts, and even though you'd think it's one of the easier fasts because you just frest your head off for God knows how many meals on Rosh Hashanah, especially if it's a 3-day Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah, you'd think like you're pretty carved up for this. For this fast, but sometimes it's very hard because, to adjust from all this indulgence to
Tzom
Gedalia to nothing, it's not the easiest fast. So they didn't fast on that day. B'yom HaRishon, what would they read? So on the first day, Bereishis, they read the first Pesukim of Bereishis via Hirakia, and the Pesukim of Hirakia, B'sheni Hirakia, V'kabu Amayim, B'shlishi Yikabu Amayim, V'hima Oros, B'revi Yehima Oros V'yishritzu Amayim. There are two sections that they're reading within every day. B'chamishi on the fifth day Yishritzu Amayim V'sosia Aretz B'shishi V'sosia Aretz V'yachulu Hashamayim. And that's how they would. And that's the Kriya Sator. So this was a special Kriya Sator that they would have in the community for the Maimid, and you would represent. The people. It's discussed in some of the Mefarshim. There's a whole very interesting discussion in the Gemara in how to relate to the Kohanim who are doing the Avoda in the Mikdash itself. Are they the Shluchim, listen to this, are they the Shluchim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore as emissaries of God performing the Avoda for us, or are they the Shluchim of Klal Yisrael as emissaries of us performing the Avoda in a connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam? And that has all sorts of very fascinating distinctions, but with the presumption that they are already the shluchim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so what does this mean? That we're appointing ourselves as the... So the idea is there has to be some sort of representation in the connection of Klal Yisrael to the Korban itself. If it's a Korban that's going to be brought on behalf of the Jewish people, it has to, in some way, in some concrete manifesting form, embody the Jewish people. And so therefore, a representation of the Jewish people congregates together, does this Kriyas HaTorah, and through that, connects up to the Avodah. It's interesting that the Kriyas HaTorah that's chosen is Briyas HaOlam, right? That is interesting, right? That Briyas HaOlam is the Kriyas HaTorah. Maybe they should be reading, Parshas Vayikra. They should be reading something that relates to Karbonos itself. So it's, essentially the Kriyas HaTorah of Briyas HaOlam is a way to anchor people in the notion that all of this that we're doing, the whole Mikdash experience, the whole connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, is all about relating to God as the ultimate ruler, as the ultimate creator of the universe. And we know that the Karbonos, the space where the first Karbonos were brought, is the space from which the world was ultimately created, right? That Evan Shasia, where we bring the Karbonos, or that where the Aron sits, but in the area where we bring the Karbonos, that's all connected to Briyas HaOlam. The Gemara, the Mishnah then says, Parsha Gedola, the larger portion of this Kriyas HaTorah, Karnos HaBishnaim, is read within two components, Vakatana B'yachid, and the smaller one is read with just one. B'shachris, B'musaf, U'v'mincha, on Shachris, so now we're going back to the statement of the Mishnah, that we, Arba Palmin B'yom, four times in a day, Shachris, Musaf, Mincha, and Ne'ilah. So the Gemara, the Mishnah says, B'Shachris, B'Musaf, on Shachris, and on Musaf. That's what they do. U'v'mincha, we're going to see the Gemara later, a few blot later, is going to discuss how to read this line exactly, but we're reading it now based mostly on the Maskar of the Gemara. U'v'mincha, and when it comes to Mincha, Nichnasin v'korin al piem kikorin es shema. They don't read it from a Sefer Torah, but rather they come into shul and they read it again at mincha. They do so kikorin es shema, the way you would read shema, meaning like at that time by heart. Erev Shabbos b'mincha, on Erev Shabbos at mincha lo hayu nichnasin mipnei kavod haShabbos. They would not go through this because they didn't want to burden people because they were supposed to be spending time preparing for Shabbos. Kol yom sheyesh bo halel. Any day that there was halel, ein ma'amid b'shachris. They wouldn't do this extra service at Shachris because they wanted to allow an opportunity for people to focus appropriately on halel. Karban musaf, if there was a karban musaf, ein b'ne'ilah. They would not engage this in the tefillah of ne'ilah, the ma'amid, not the nesias kapayim, the ma'amid, the extra kriyas HaTorah. Carbon Eitzim, if there's a carbon of wood, which we're going to discuss what that is in a moment, Ein b'mincha, then they wouldn't do it at mincha. Dibre Rabbi Akiva, these are the words of Rabbi Akiva. Amar lo ben Azai, but ben Azai responded, Kach aya Rabbi Yoshua, Shona, this is how Rabbi Yoshua would learn it. Carbon Musaf, if there's a carbon Musaf, then because you're involved in the carbon Musaf, Ein b'mincha, you wouldn't do the maimed at mincha. Carbon Eitzim Ein b'ne'ilah. If there's a carbon Eitzim, a wood carbon, then you don't do it at ne'ilah. Chazar, Rabbi Akiva, Lios Shona keben Azai. And Rabbi Akiva was Chozer, like the opinion of Ben Azai. So what are these Atzei, what are these carbon Eitzim? What are these carbonos of wood? That becomes the next interesting question. What are these carbon Eitzim? So the Mishnah says that Zman Atzei Kohanim v'ha'am Tisha. There were 9 times that the nation would bring wood for the Mikdash. Why are they bringing wood for the Mikdash? So what happened was when they returned from Golus Bavel to Yerushalayim, so they were trying to reconstruct the Avoda of the Mikdash. One of the things they were missing was wood. Wood is a very important component of being able to accomplish the avoda of the Mikdash, right? Where are you going to get wood? So they needed donations for the wood. So they went around collecting for the wood, and a number of families stepped up and committed to giving the wood for the Beis HaMikdash. The names of these families are actually recorded in Tanakh itself. Okay, that's a pretty chashuv donor recognition, right? That's quite a plaque, right? Go there. But the right, that's a pretty chashuv donor recognition, right? And these names are actually in Tanakh, and there were different. And what happened was because these people stepped up when the Beis HaMikdash was most in need. For the rest of the history of the Beis HaMikdash, these families were invited. To have, even though they could get wood now, right? Now that now everybody had bar mitzvahs and they planted trees and Karen Kayemet and right and all these everybody's good. You got the certificate and this is my tree and they had plenty of wood. But now that they now that these families had stepped up originally, they were given the cover to being allowed to return and bring this wood during these different times of year. And this was a big simcha in those families when that would occur. And they would make like a yontif for this. Experience. So Zman Atzei Kohanim Ve'ha'am Tisha, there were 9 times. Ve'echad ben Nisan B'nei Arach ben Yehuda. On the on the 1st of Nisan, the family of Arach ben Yehuda. Ve'esrim B'tamuz on the 20th of Tamuz B'nei David ben Yehuda. Ve'chamisha Ba'av on the 5th of Av B'nei Parosh ben Yehuda. Ve'shiva Ba'av on the 7th Ba'av B'nei Yonadav ben Rachav. Ba'asarabo b'nei Sna'a ben Binyamin. B'chamisha asarabo on the 15th, b'nei Zesu ben Yehuda. And the imahem, and with them, Kohanim v'Levim. Any Kohanim and Levim who were part of these experiences. V'chomi shetah b'shifto. And anybody who was part of one of these families, they had a tradition they were part of one of these families, but they weren't sure exactly which family they were part of, they would bring it on that day. And those that were involved in some sort of taking of something and the katzios, some sort of date processing. So the Gemara says also again just a way to identify particular families. Be'esrim bo b'nei pachas Moav ben Yehuda. Be'esrim be'elol on the 20th of Elul b'nei Adin ben Yehuda. Be'echad b'teves shebo on the 1st of Teves b'nei parosh shnia. They would have the parosh family, who's been mentioned already once, would do it a second time. They needed a second volunteer, so that family stepped up twice. Be'echad b'teves lahoya b'mamid on the 1st of Teves, they would not do a maimid. Why? Shahaya bo halel, because there was halel, because it was Rosh Chodesh. The carbon musaf, and the carbon musaf, because it was Rosh Chodesh, the carbon eitzim. So, therefore, there was no maimid, because you knocked off shachris, because of halal, you knocked off mincha, because of musaf, you knocked off all these different opportunities. Okay, then the next line in the Mishnah, very, very famous. Chamisha dvarim iru es avosenu b'shevasar b'tamuz v'chamisha b'tishabav. There are five things that happen to the Jewish people on Shevasar b'tamuz, and there are five things that happen to the Jewish people on Tishabav. B'shevasar b'tamuz, on Shevasar b'tamuz, nishtabru aluchos. The luchos were broken. That happened on the 17th day of Tammuz. The breaking of the luchos was obviously a tremendous tragedy because it was the outcome of the Chet HaEgel, right? It was Moshe Rabbeinu's response to the Jewish people's failure to maintain their level of emunah and bitachon despite circumstances not evolving the way they expected or were told they would happen, right? Sometimes very hard for us to understand how a nation that was emancipated from Mitzrayim with 10 makos, you know, mamish with Paro in his pajamas in the middle of the night, mamish, like, how is it possible? And then the sea is split, and then they show up at Har Sinai, and things don't go exactly as planned, and right away everything deteriorates. If we take a step back and we think about it, you know, so, okay, we have never been Zocha to see such open miracles, so it's a little harder for us to understand how that transition took place so abruptly, but the truth is, shifts in faith can happen very abruptly. And people can be in moments of tremendous confidence and feel tremendous divine support and feel like their faith is impenetrable. And then all of a sudden something happens that is not necessarily even suffering, but something that we don't expect. Something that, you know, things are supposed to occur one way. That was the nature of the crisis here. It wasn't that they woke up one morning and weren't sure if there was a God or God did something bad to them. Nothing bad happened. Just Moshe Rabbeinu said that things would unfold one way and things were unfolding another way. We have a certain vision of the way we expect life to unfold, and that vision is often crafted and scripted by our Torah, by what we're told is going to happen. And then sometimes things go off the rails from expectation, and that chaos itself creates a tremendous instability, an existential instability that often manifests itself in experiences of challenges of faith, and will often cause us to look to other sources of stability and other sources of stability in different ways. Maybe we look to the job as a source of stability. Maybe we look to a particular person as a source of stability. That's the phenomena of the Egel. Phenomena of the Egel is that you could be at the highest levels of faith, but if that faith does not encompass the notion that ultimately the faith, that faith is a surrender to the Ribbono Shel Olam's determination of how circumstances of life are going to play out, but rather that faith is simply a product of things going well. But if that faith is not more mature, if that faith is not more sophisticated, that faith is not more developed, and understanding that it's really part of circumstance, then ultimately it can't hold when circumstances become destabilized. That's the Meshech Chochma writes. Meshech Chochma, in a very shocking statement, writes that the Chet HaEgel happened because the Jewish people just poshut did not have enough time. They were slaves for 200 years. Even though they saw miracles of miracles, it just was not enough time for their faith to mature. Faith is a journey. It's not something, it's not a binary state of being. You have it, you don't have it. Faith is an evolving, complex, very real, challenging journey of life. And so therefore, it says in Meshech Chochma, they didn't have enough time. And he writes, that's why they needed to be in the desert for 40 years, which is surprising because there's a pasuk in the Torah that says they were in the desert for 40 years because of what they did with the Meraglim. So there are many answers to that. Understand that, again, the Meraglim may have been the catalyst. It could be that the lack of faith that needed the 40 years is what resulted in the Meraglim. However, you understand that Meshech Chochma.
It was always like I thought that they were, even though the Chet HaEgel, but the generation that left Mitzrayim were not the people that entered into Yerushalayim,
correct,
and into Israel. You needed a whole new generation of people.
Correct. Whose emuna evolved in the context of, again, a miraculous environment, but certainly more of a normative miraculous environment than having a sea split in front of you and being pulled out of slavery. So nishtabru haluchos. So that was a cataclysmic moment in the Jewish people, and it was a moment where everything almost unraveled, right? And if it wasn't for Moshe Rabbeinu's persistence and willingness to go down with the ship. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mecheinina Misifrecha. If you're getting rid of them, you're getting rid of me. There were a lot of very, you know, fundamental aspects to this moment. And that moment that Moshe Rabbeinu basically stood in front of Klal Yisrael and said, even though you're saying you're going to rebuild a new nation out of me, I'm with them, I stand with them, that's ultimately what transforms everything. And that is, by the way, the Gemara tells us, that is the secret of tefillah for Yamim Noraim. That's what the Gemara says, that that when Moshe Rabbeinu Hashem modeled, this is the way you daven for Klal Yisrael. You wrap yourself in the talis and you say, Hashem, Hashem, karachom b'chanun, and that's the Gemara we always quote before Slichos. But what's interesting about Nishtabru Haluchos, about the breaking of the Luchos, is as Rashi quotes, ultimately, it's very interesting, the whole breaking of the Luchos, very interesting. Ultimately, the breaking of the Luchos, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Yasher Koach. Right? That's the quote in the Gemara in Shabbos. Yashikach, you broke the luchos. You did the right thing. You did the right thing. What does that mean, you did the right thing? And in fact, Rashi quotes this at the very, very end of the Torah. The last pasuk in the Torah. L'chol ha'osos v'amosim, right? B'chol einei Yisrael. The very, very last words in the Torah, Rashi says, refers to the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu broke the luchos, which is pretty anticlimactic. You want to end the Torah on the fact that Moshe broke the luchos? And the answer is that breaking the luchos was a very, very pivotal moment, because what it did was it set the stage for the Luchos Shnios. It was a destructive moment that itself became the foundation of a new level of commitment and a new reality. And in fact, we are told that the Shivrei Luchos were put in the Aron as well. In the Aron Hashem, not only were the new Luchos, but also the broken old Luchos. The Shivrei Luchos are in the Luchos themselves. And Rav Huttner, in his Pachad Yitzchak on Hanukkah or Purim, I don't remember which one it was, I think it was Hanukkah, he talks about this Gemara, Nishtabru HaLuchos, as the fact that in Torah itself, very often our limitations in Torah can be a foundation for growth. That if everybody was able to just comprehend everything right away, and nothing was challenging and nothing was difficult, and there was no, you know, curiosity and no challenge in trying to comprehend things, understand things, then we wouldn't be able to develop problems and questions. And how much Torah has evolved? How many chidushim have come from the fact that something didn't make sense to someone, right? The fact that something didn't make sense to someone. And that's true in learning in general. By the way, you know, when you go to a shir where everything's laid out perfectly from beginning to end, and it's elegant and tight and everything like that, it's very pleasant, it's very pleasurable, it's very beautiful to listen to. But very rarely will you walk out of that shir with your own unique contributory insight, because there's no space for it. It's just everything is perfect. You go to a shir where the goal is not necessarily to, you're getting together, you're learning with a chavrusa, you're going through something on your own, you're going to a shir that's working through a topic, working through an issue. There's a challenge, so that allows one to develop more. Nishtabru haluchos is Shavasa Tamuz, but it's also the foundation for other things as well. Ubatal Atamid, as we discussed, the Karban Atamid, that cessation of the continuity of functionality of the Mikdash, that itself is one of the critical points of the Khorban. The Hukva Ir, and the city was breached. Visaraf Afustamus Esatorah. And Afustamus burnt the Torah. And there are different mepharshim that discuss when exactly did this happen, by Yisrishon, by Yisheni. Some mepharshim say this happened already in by Yisheni. This was a very important Torah. This was the Torah of Ezra, right? The Torah of Ezra was the authoritative Torah from which all the other Torahs were copied, right? So today, we can't imagine such a problem because there, you know, we have so many printings and we could scan the Torahs with computers and we could, you know. But in this time, you know, how do you know that we're writing the right letters? How do you know we're writing the right words? Every word is important. Every letter is very important. The Sefer Torah needs to have every single letter. We certainly paskin l'chachila. A Sefer Torah has to have every single letter. B'di'eved, that's an interesting discussion, right? When there's a psul in the Sefer Torah in the middle of someone's aliyah, so we put the Sefer Torah away and we take out a new one, but we don't start the parsha from the beginning. Right? Why don't we start the parsha from the beginning? Because when Bishop Brewer writes, we paskin fundamentally like the Rambam, that even though the Sefer Torah has a psul, one psul does not passel everything. So we paskin like that b'di'eved on everything we've already done. Right? We don't then go back and say, oh, we have to lane Zohar again because it was from this Torah and we don't have to. We don't do that. But Mikano Abba, we paskin like the Rishonim that say every letter in the Torah is important. So this was a very, very important Torah. What's the original text? What's the original text? Now, as Israel, a number of years ago, I don't know if it was there, it's still there now, but they had the Aleppo Codex on display. Aleppo Codex, one of the oldest Tanakhs that we have, right? Where a lot of the, you know, when somebody publishes a new Tanakh, where do they get the words from? How do they know exactly what it says, right? Whose Tanakh do they follow? So we have some of the oldest, and we had a shir on this once, on the Aleppo Codex. It was not so much of a shir as a chavrusa between me and David Adler, but it was, I thought it was interesting. I thought the word codex would definitely get people to come, but apparently I miscalculated.
Do you pick up from the word or go back to the beginning of the sentence?
You go back to the beginning of that aliyah. You go back to the beginning of that aliyah, but you don't go back all the way to the beginning of the parsha. Yeah. So says the Mishnah, okay, they burned the Torah. So burning that original Torah created a lot of problems. And they put it selim in the Hechel, an idol in the Hechel Hashem. V'tishabav, nigzar alav oseinu shel yukansu la'aretz. On Tishabav, there was a gzera that they would not enter Eretz Yisrael. V'charav in the Midbar. V'charav habayis berishono v'shnia, both batei migdash. V'nilka de Beitar. Beitar was the last holdout in the revolt that took place after the Chorban Abayis, really like 50 years after Chorban Abayis, where they all gathered in Beitar, and once Beitar fell, and that's a whole discussion about Kochba and all these things that were going on, and once Beitar fell, that was sort of the end of the Jewish presence in Eretz Yisrael as a nation, and so that's also considered as serious, the Gemara says, as when Yerushalayim fell. V'nechrasha ha'ir, and the city was plowed over. Discussion in Rishonim, city being plowed over, does that refer to the Mikdash, Yushalayim? What does that mean, they plowed it over? So literally it means they plowed it over, like they didn't just destroy the buildings on top, they literally uprooted everything. I shared on Tisha B'Av the beautiful insight that I saw from, I think it was from Rav Druckman, that Nechusha Ha'ir, yes, it captures the depth of the Churban, but Harisha is also a process that is used in the very initial stages of
Zriya,
of planting. And the point is that even though they thought they were uprooting everything by plowing over the Mikdash, really what they were doing with that Churban was the initial stages of setting the ground and preparing the ground for what would ultimately be the Geula of the Jewish people, the B'mehera B'yameinu. So says the Mishnah, okay, Mishenichnas Av Mematin Besimcha. So this is also something we're familiar with, that when Av comes, we are Mimayit our Simcha. Many are Medayik, that it doesn't say we eliminate Simcha. It doesn't say we walk around in the month of Av devoid of any sense of joy and happiness and serenity. Mimayit Besimcha. We have to live our lives with a certain degree of Ibdu Es Hashem Besimcha, right? But we're memayit that simcha. We recognize that things happened that are worthy of our emotional connection. Shabbos shechal Tisha B'Av liyos besocha, the week that Tisha B'Av falls out, aser melesaper, you can't get haircuts, umlechabes, you can't do laundry. And obviously we'll talk later in the Gemara about how that evolved to what we have today with the Shavuot shechal bo, the 9 days, the 3 weeks. Uvechamishi, and if Tisha B'Av falls out on Friday, then on Thursday, mutarin mipnei kavod haShabbos. You could do these things so that we can have kavod haShabbos, because you can't do them on Friday. Today, we no longer have Tisha B'Av ever falling out on Friday, because the fixed calendar prevents that from happening. Erev Tisha B'Av, lo yachol adam shnei tafshilin. On Erev Tisha B'Av, you shouldn't eat at your last meal. You shouldn't eat two different cooked items. Shouldn't eat meat and fish, or, you know, like two different cooked items. Lo yachal basar lo yushta yayin. You don't eat meat, you don't drink wine. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel omer yishanim. Not that you don't eat these things at all, but a person should change from their general way they relate to these things. And the Gemara will explain. Rabbi Yehuda mechayev b'kfiyas amita. Rabbi Yehuda says that we also overturn the beds. They used to overturn the beds as a form of avelus. They used to overturn the beds as a form of avelus, Today we don't do that anymore because their beds used to be different. And if we overturned our bed, it wouldn't be a bed, right? Mm-hmm. We have like a box spring on the other side of the bed. And on the other side of our mattress, probably comfortable, just as comfortable as the other side of the mattress. In fact, some people, I think, say you should flip the mattresses, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. So the, I've never done that. But so the, so what do we do today? So I heard from Rav Schachter once that, I don't remember who he quoted, maybe it was Lufsam Sofer, that the covering of the mirrors that we do today is connected to the Kfiyas Hamita of some sort. Anyway, so he says we should do that on Tisha B'Av. So the Chachamim did not agree. Amar Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, Lahayamim Tovim LiYisrael keChamisha Asar B'Av ukeYom HaKippurim. There were no greater days of joy for the Jewish people like the 15th of Av and Yom HaKippurim. What was so great? Shebahen Binos Yerushalayim, that on those days, the daughters of Yerushalayim, Yotzos Bechli Lavon, they would go out in white garb, she'ulin, that were borrowed, shelo levayis shmi she'enlo, so that no one would be embarrassed if they didn't have something, right? In other words, you didn't want a situation where some women, because they happen to have access to resources, could dress nicer than other women. So everybody borrowed, so this way nobody was wearing their own best stuff. And everybody would tovel those clothing, assuming that some of the girls were not careful with Tumah V'Tahara, so everything got tovel. Ubinos Yerushalayim, Yotzos V'Cholos V'Krumim, and they would go out in the music and the vineyards. Umao Yo'omro, so what would they say? Bachar, Sana Einecha, see the profile, see the resume, the raw, and see. Ma'ata borer, which one do you want to choose? Ma'ata borecha, what do you want to choose? Al titein einecha b'noi. Don't just look at the beauty. Tein einecha b'mishpacha. See whether or not they read mishpacha. Right? See whether or not the family. What does that mean, the family? It means the values. The values of the person. Sheker achein v'havel ayofi isha yiras hashemi tisalos. Some read this as actually three different things. In other words, if you have a woman that has all of these different assets, so then, okay, so you'll take the beautiful woman. But let's say you have a woman that's not so beautiful, but look at her values, look at her family, look where she comes from. She can contribute so much to your life. And if that's also a challenge, her family, so then look at her own Yeres Shamayim. He tisalo. Tenula mipriya dabi alua b'sharim maseo. Look at her actions, look at who she is, right? Halavai, today, it's very... very challenging. People are very, very, very judgmental. I receive a lot of calls. Now, I wouldn't say a lot, but I receive calls, checking out families in the shul, because everybody wants to know. You want to know about the family, so you call the rav of the family, and you're going to get all the what. I don't know what, right? So... these are often very, so sometimes they're beautiful conversations. So I just want to know, is it a good family? It's a good family. It's a good midos, good midos. Can you tell me a bit about them? Oh, they're wonderful. They were just on a reason at the dinner. They were, they're in the Dafa Shavua Shir. Everything is beautiful. They're very involved in the community. They're wonderful. And sometimes the questions are really strange, really, really, really strange, and they always start, the truth is generally when the questions start exceptionally nice, that's when they're going to get exceptionally weird. when they start with, not just tell me about the family, they start with, are the midas tavas, that's when you're kind of headed for strange questions. And, so sometimes, and people have become... People become very, very judgmental, and I'm not taking away from that. I'm sure I'll also be, Be'ezus Hashem, very concerned about where the spouses of our children are coming from and the kind of values they were raised with. And we have to think about, there has to be some balance in this process, where we understand, very hard, are there any mental health issues at all with anyone in the family from any generation anywhere? I said to them, I don't know, you're talking to someone with mental health issues. I don't even know what to tell you. Everybody has mental health issues. You asking me this question reveals you have mental health issues. No, you have mental health issues. I have mental health issues. They have mental, what do you want? You're looking for so sometimes this gets very extreme and I have a response, but my wife made me stop using it. She told me it's not nice. And I tell people, I don't think they're going to fit into your Aryan race of of Jewish singles. I don't think it's going to work. I don't think this is, you know, any sort of solution. So, but Ruth said, I can't say that. It's not that I'm not being appropriate. So, good. All right. See, I did the right thing. I married the right woman. So, and it was definitely on Tu B'Av when I saw her walking around Yom Kippur. So says the Gemara, V'cheinu Omer, Tzenu Re'ena B'nos Tzion B'melech Shlomo, the B'nos Tzion of like Melech Shlomo, Ba'atra Sha'atra Lo Imo, the crown that his mother gave him, B'yom Chasanuso, B'yom Simchas Libo, the day of his Chasana, the day of his Simchas Libo. What is it? What does that mean? B'yom Chasanuso, that's Matan Torah. B'yom Simchas Libo, that's Binyan Beis Amigda, Shiyabana B'mheira B'yameinu. Okay, Tu B'Av and Yom Kippurim. So some discuss, you know, I saw discussed a little bit. I have a sefer I got on Maseches Tainis called Tila the Yona. He discusses, or maybe it was in the Berachas Avraham, I don't remember. So it says, what do you mean, Tu B'Av, Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur? You're like equating these two things? I mean, come on. Let's, you know, Tu B'Av and Yom Kippurim, you're putting Tu B'Av even before Yom Kippur. You know, what's going on? So some interpret it sort of very pragmatically that, no, what he's trying to say is, these are the best days for these things to happen, right? What are the connections between these things? Because you're looking for a certain set, you're looking for purity and authenticity and a grounded reality, and that's what these days are about. But some say, no, that the Vart is that, why are these days such important days? Why is this such an important thing? Because this is the foundation of family. This is the foundation of building your life. This is the foundation of putting together your future. And so therefore, that has to be something of a tremendous priority. B'shlosha prakim, now we're in the Gemara.
Did the gross go out in Yom Kippur also like that? The same as Yeah.
In fact, I'll tell you, I don't know if we should have this on the tape, but so one of the things I oversee at YU is something called YU Connects. YU Connects is a shidduch program. It's much more than that. It's an organization that does matchmaking, but also does a tremendous amount of education and research and different things. We're doing a big program in November about for parents, about helping to educate parents through this process. A tremendous amount of great stuff. It's run by Revitz and Sobolovsky. So two summers ago, we put up flyers about a singles event during the 9 days. Why? Because the 9 days, people have much fewer conflicts, right? You don't have Simchas Torah, you know, but, you know, people, it's a quieter time in the Jewish world. So we set up a social event, 9 days. Got a scathing, scathing email, which I get often from many of the things that we run, from really crazy people, often who are concentrated in a particular country, which I won't mention. And the email is like, how could you do this during the 9 days? There's no mazel during the 9 days. These shidduchim are going to be terrible because there's no mazel and they're not going to blah, blah, blah. So to me, it was a davar pashut. The Mishnah verse says you're allowed to get engaged on Tisha B'Av. You're allowed to, I don't even know what he's, you know, like I said. But I brought it to Rabbi Sobolovsky. I figured, you know, okay, you know, you get an email, you ask a shayla, so... He told me, he said, I would run the event on Yom Kippur. I'd run the event. At Yom Kippur afternoon, I'd run the event. That's a plug. Rav Sobolovsky is coming before Yom Tov to speak. Everybody should come. Rishlosh Prakim Bishana, on 3 times of the year, Kohanim Nosin Es Kapayim. The Kohanim would do Nesias Kapayim. So the Gemara says, how do you read this line in the Mishnah? It's a little bit weird, right? I kind of read it quickly so no one would notice, but Vishlosha Prakim Bashana 3 times in the year, Nosin is Kapeyam, and then Arba Pamim Bayom 4 times a day, Shachris Musaf, Mincha Ne'ilas Sha'arim. How do you read that?
So
the Gemara says, you read it like this, Tanios Umamodos Mi'iko Musaf. Like, what do you mean? During a Tainis and a Maimid, you have Musaf? You don't have Musaf. So Chisur Mechzer Ba'achitani. This is what the Mishnah meant to say. Vishlosha prakim at 3 times, Kohanim Nosin is Kapayim. The Kohanim do Duchani. Kozman Shemispalalim. Right? Any time that there's a tefillah during those days. The Yesh Mehen, and there are from them, Arba Pamim Bayom, 4 potential times of the day. Shachris Musaf, Mincha Ne'ilas Sha'arim. The Eluhain Shlosha prakim, and these are the 3 times a year. Tanios Mamodos, the Yom HaKippurim, and Yom HaKippurim. So, there's a mitzvah of Nesias Kapayim. That mitzvah really applies every single day. And what's interesting is, the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim is included in the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos, in the Sefer HaChinuch, which we know only includes mitzvos, not to say, but the Rambam's Sefer HaMitzvos only includes mitzvos that are no Heges L'doros, right? So, this is a mitzvah that should exist, in theory, Bizman HaZeh as well. Why don't we have Birchas Kohanim? Right? I just came back from Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, every single day, you have, at Shachris, you have Birchas Kohanim. Right? And Sfardim, many Sfardim do, Syrian community, other communities do, many Sfardim do. Why don't we have Birchas Kohanim? Why don't we do Birchas Kohanim here every day? First of all, if I would have enough Kohanim, but why don't we have Birchas Kohanim every day? So already the Beis Yosef discusses this. And the Beis Yosef quotes, I think, the Ugur. And the Ugur basically says that this minug fell out of practice for the following reason. One of the requirements of Birchas Kohanim is they have to be in a state of simcha, to be in a state of happiness. People are very stressed out, says the Ugur. It's very hard to make a living. People are very poor. People feel like they need to get through davening quickly so that they can get to work. It's very, very, people are having a very, very hard time.
They're still doing the Syrian community.
Exactly. They're very, having a hard time. And so, therefore, that, and you have, many, according to some opinions, you have to do tevila, and people weren't doing tevila. So it fell out of practice. The Beis Yosef is very uncomfortable with this justification, this rationalization. This is one of those examples of a halacha, of a minhag Yisrael that developed really socially, culturally, kind of ahead of the halachic reasoning. And it's really interesting the way it developed. Maybe we'll look at it a little bit over Yontif. It's a really interesting topic. But basically, the Beis Yosef, you know, says the minhag Yisrael developed not to do it, except on the Yomim Tovim. That's when they would do it. They would do it on the Yomim Tovim. But in Eretz Yisrael, they reinstituted the minhag that they should do it all the time. Eretz Yisrael, they're besimcha, objectively. So Eretz Yisrael, they have the minhag to do it. Some Sfardim, I think he maintains that in Egypt they used to do it. And, you know, and certainly those areas of the Sfardim, the countries that were closer to Eretz Yisrael, they had the minhag to do it. But the Darkei Moshe Ramah says that they didn't do it. The Gra, I think, wanted to reinstitute it, and he tried. And the story goes that all sorts of terrible things happened. Like he tried to reinstitute Birchas Kohanim and somebody died. And then he tried to reinstitute Birchas Kohanim again and like the city burned down. There's like stories and there are different things. And eventually they just, they stopped it. In fact, there's a very interesting line in the Orach HaShulchan. Orach HaShulchan we generally relate to as a pretty grounded, non-mystical posek. And the Orach HaShulchan writes that... that we don't do this anymore. Kol Hashana Kula. Mina Garuahu. He says it's a Mina Garuah. It's hard to justify. Ma Nase. And he says, Ki ilu baskol yotza shelo lehaniach lanu lisa kapayim b'chol Hashana Kula. It's as if a baskol came out and said that we shouldn't do this. And he's alluding to this story from the Vilna Gaon. That's what he says. And he said, big poskim tried to do it, and things happened that didn't let it happen. So it's a very interesting, you know, bas kol came out. We all know the famous Gemara in Bava Metzia with Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Elazar. Tara lo b'shamayim hi. We all know it's the bas kols. That's his justification, that it's like a bas kol. So it's just this is what developed in Klal Yisrael that we don't have a minute today to do it during a regular day. So says the Gemara. So now the Gemara says, okay, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba. Says Rav Nachman, name of Rabba Bar Rav Huah, Zudiv Rav Meir. This is opinion of Rabbi Meir. Vachamim Amrim Chachamim say no. Shachris and Musaf Yesh Bem Nesiyas Kapayim. Shachris and Musaf can have Nesiyas Kapayim. Mincha v'Neila Ein Bahem Nesiyas Kapayim. Mincha and Ne'ilah cannot have Nesiyas Kapayim. Man Chachamim, who are these Chachamim that disagree with Rabbi Meir? Rabbi Yehuda, he is Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya could learn to the Braisa. Shachris v'musaf v'mincha v'ne'ilah kulon yesh v'm Nesiyas Kapayim divi Rabbi Meir. The opinion of Rabbi Meir is that all of these Tfilos can potentially have embedded within them Nesiyas Kapayim. Duchening, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, shachris v'musav yesh ba'en nesiyas kapayim, mincha v'ne'ilo ein ba'en nesiyas kapayim. And then we have one more opinion, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says, Ne'ilo yesh bo nesiyas kapayim, mincha ein bo nesiyas kapayim. That shachris and musaf can have it, mincha cannot have it, but ne'ilo can have it. So the Gemara says, "V'mai kemifugi." What is this argument about? Is this arbitrary? Which tefillos can have? Which tefillos can have? So the Gemara says, "No." Rabbi Meir Sava, Rabbi Meir holds, "Kol yoma, every day." Time of my lo parshi kahani yadayu b'minchusa. Why every day to the Kohanim not do nesias kapayim at mincha in a regular day? What's the reason? Mishum shichrus, because we're worried that they might be drunk. Right? Mincha was often davened after a meal. A meal at that time, wine was a normal part of a meal. It wasn't just something that you know, it was a normal drink, as we see all over the Mishnahs and the Gemara. So it was a normal drink. If you have more than a revius of yayin, you are not allowed to do the avodah in the mikdash. And by extension, you are not allowed to do the birchas kohanim in the mikdash. The kohanim are not allowed to be drunk, which is the reason for what, minig?
Dreishol.
No. Joshua. What? Exactly. And Simchas Torah, where we move Duchening to where?
Shachris.
We move Duchening to Shachris, because we're assuming that Shachris, they're not drinking. But by Musaf, because in some shuls, as David pointed out, not in this shul, but in some shuls, there is a minig to have a drink after your aliyah, and so therefore the kohanim might be tipsy, and so therefore they're not allowed to duchen. And about 5 years ago, we had a very interesting shiur on if you legislate in your shul, like in our shul, that you're absolutely not allowed to have any alcohol whatsoever, and we're sure that that's happening, can you move it back to Musaf, where it really from Minag Yisrael belongs? And Rabbi Przanski, I believe, in Tinek did that. I believe he put it back into Musaf. And so we had a very interesting discussion based on a sefer that was written by Rabbi Reisman, not the one in Brooklyn, the one in L.A., Tzvika Reisman, Ratz Katzvi, has a whole back and forth between him and a rabbi from L.A. that I actually had a relationship with. I learned B'chavarus a couple years. Rabbi Yitzhak Shalom, based back and forth, a whole discussion about whether or not it's appropriate to move it, and he quotes a very interesting ha'ara in that discussion that a lot of people in the shir did not buy, but I thought was interesting, which is that why do we not do birchas ka'anim in shachris? Because the kriyas ha'torah of Simchas Torah is all about the brachos of Moshe Rabbeinu. And you don't want to do the brachos of Aaron before the brachos of Moshe. So therefore, they moved it from Shachris to
Musaf.
From Musaf to Shachris. They can't move it back to Musaf. Something like that. I forget exactly what they... So anyway, Mishum Shichrus. So because of Shichrus. Ha'inna today, like a Shichrus. But if there's a tainis, there's no Shichrus. Everybody's fasting. So if everybody's fasting, it shouldn't be a problem. So therefore, you could do it in Mincha. Rabbi Yehuda Sabar Shachris Umosaf, Dechoyom Alo Shchicha Shechrus, Lo Gozru Bo Rabbanon. The Rabbanon were not Gozer Shachris Umosaf, but Mincha Vene'ila, Dechoyom Ashchicha Shechrus, Gozru Hu Bo Rabbanon. The Rabbi Yehuda was of the opinion that on the fast days, we don't do it at Mincha and at Ne'ila because we are being Gozer. If we let people do it at Mincha and Ne'ila, then in a regular day, when they can drink, when it's not a fast day, they'll also do it during Mincha, and there might be a problem of Shichrus, so it's a gzeira. Rabbi Yossi saw, so was Rabbi Yossi hold, Mincha de Isya b'chol yoma gazru bo rabbanon, Ne'ila de Lesa b'chol yoma lo gazru bo rabbanon. Why does Rabbi Yossi allow it for Ne'ila? Because he says the gzeira was only made with respect to tefillos that we say every day. We're worried that if you do it at Mincha on a fast day, you're going to end up doing it Mincha, not on a fast day, drunk. But Ne'ila, if we let you do it at Ne'ila, we're worried that what? Where are you going to take that to? There's nowhere to take that to. You're allowed to do it in Shachris and Musaf. So therefore, he's not goes there on Ne'ila. And some do Birchas Kohanim at Ne'ila. I think one of the minyanim in this shul does Birchas Kohanim in Ne'ila. The challenge of doing Birchas Kohanim in Ne'ila is Birchas Kohanim has to be done during the day. So therefore, you have to daven Ne'ila earlier in order to hit Ne'ila. First of all, it's a whole discussion if Ne'ila should be during the day or during the night, or how exactly that should work. That's actually a discussion in the Gemara I think we'll even get to. But the But you have to start earlier. So I think the Minhag Yisrael, I think in Eretz Yisrael also they do Birchas Kohanim in Ne'ilah, and I think they're Makel up until 13 minutes like after Shkia. You know, they take like the earliest, the most you could push. To push Shkia for different things for different reasons, right? So, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav, Halacha k'Rabbi Meir, the Halacha is like Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Nogwa Am k'Rabbi Meir. The Am was Noeg like Rabbi Meir. But Rabbi Amar Min Og k'Rabbi Meir. The Minhag is like Rabbi Meir. Why do you need these three things? Man, Amar Halacha k'Rabbi Meir. The one who says the Halacha is like Rabbi Meir, that you could do this. Darshinan Lo B'Pirka. You would actually teach that that's the din. Man, Amar Minhag Midrash Lo Darshinan. The one that says the Minhag is like Rabbi Meir. You don't teach that that's the din, but Ivuri Morinon. If somebody asks you, that's the answer you give. And the one that says that's how the people are knowing, you don't even give that as the answer, but if that's what they do, you don't stop them. Rabbi Nachman Omar comes along, Rabbi Nachman says, actually, the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. The halacha is Rabbi Yossi. And that's how we paskin fundamentally, that we do not do Birchas Kohanim, even on Yom Kippur during Mincha. We do it during Musaf and in Eretz Yisrael and Shachris. But in my time of Perushe Kahani Adayu b'minchasa de Tanisa, and he says, and today, what's the reason why the Gemara is assuming that we do it during Mincha as well? Parshe Kahani Adayu b'minchasa de Tanisa Kevan, that the Kohanim do it on Mincha. Says the Gezeri was only when they used to daven mincha very early in the day after the meal. Now that we do it later in the day, it's more similar to ne'ilah, and therefore you don't have to worry about it. The kuliyam amilas shachar aser, but nevertheless, everybody agreed you're not allowed to do nesias kapayim if you're intoxicated. So what's the source of that? Nesias kapayim inan emili. How do we know that? Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi says, Shum Levi Shum Bar Kafra. Lama nismecha parshas koin mevarech leparshas nazir, right? I think these are in parshas Naso, right? Yeah. Why are the parshas of koin of yivrach Hashem yishmerecha and nazir juxtaposed next to each other? Ma nazir asur b'yayin, just like a nazir is asur b'yayin, af koin mevarech asur b'yayin. A koin that's doing the brachos is asur b'yayin. So the Gemara says ima nazir. I'm sorry, maskiflar avuah de Rabbi Zeira. So Masala Avu of Rabbi Zera, the Avu of Rabbi Zera asked, "Rami La Rabbi Oshia ben Zavda." Some say it's Oshia ben Zavda. Ima Nazir also becharitzon afkoy mevarech also becharitzon. Then take that all the way. The Nazir is also also to eat this very very little grape that has like almost like a shemetz of type of yayin. So the kohen should also be also to do that. So I'm Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Kro l'sharso ulevarech bishmo. Ma mishare, it compares being serving in the mikdash to the bracha. Ma mishare is mutar b'charetzon, just like a mishare, someone who's doing the avoda, is not allowed to drink wine because it says yayin v'shecher al teish, but a charetzon he is allowed to eat. Av kohen mevarech mutar b'charetzon. So to the kohen that's doing the bracha is mutar b'charetzon. Ima mishare is bal mum. So then, but a mishare is also low. Av kohen mevarech bal mum low. So, but a mesharis that's a balmum is not allowed to serve. So, a kohen to be a mevarech for a balmum also should not be allowed to serve, and that's a discussion. What type of mumim affect nesias kapayim? So the Gemara says, no lo ha iskish le nazir. We compare it to nazir. So the Gemara says, umay chazis to mishakis mekashis le kula ikish le chumra. You're only comparing it to nazir when it comes to the kulas, right? To get out of the question of a balmum being mesharis. But why are you comparing it to Nazir when it comes to the Chumras, to aser him on the little grapes? So the Gemara says, Asmachta ninu midrabanon vilakulum. Really, these dinim midrabanon, all these comparisons are asmachtas, they're not actual limudim, and so therefore the Rabbanon shaped the dinim based on their Mesorah, and attributed that Mesorah to these patterns, and therefore they could define the scope of what we extrapolate and what we do not extrapolate for the purpose of Birchas Kohanim. Okay. Great day, everyone.